I want to encourage you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to be looking at verse 12, the fifth commandment in our series of the Ten Commandments that we have been studying together over the past few months. We want to today continue with some of the important words that we find in this particular verse of Scripture. Let me read out loud verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the fifth commandment. We thank you, Father, for the message that you had for the children of Israel, that you honor the home circle, that you honor mothers and fathers who have been entrusted with authority to rear generations of children. And Lord, we pray that you might undertake today as we look at this particular study, that our hearts and minds might be receptive and that we might see ourselves in the mirror of your word. Lord, sometimes we think, well, that's in the Old Testament, it doesn't apply to me. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of that attitude, for what has been written in the Old Testament is for our admonition and for our learning. We ask, dear Father, that you would give us ears to hear, that we might accept the truths of your word and that we might put them into practice. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We said last week in the beginning of our study of this particular verse that it is almost universal these days, the disregard for the fifth commandment. As a matter of fact, our Lord warned us of this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, when he wrote through the pen of the Apostle Paul, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and then this phrase, without natural affection. In other words, their affections that should be normal, natural, are no longer there. Love for mother and father. Love for mothers and fathers for their children. To see them brought up under the teachings of the Word of God. I spoke to a gentleman. We were talking about the discipline of children. And we were talking about, his language was, well, kids need a good smack every once in a while. And I said, well, I said, I don't like to use that word. That's not biblical. The Bible says that we are to exercise discipline, chastening. And I said, it's not about smacking kids, it's about loving kids. Wanting to see their ill behavior corrected into proper behavior. And I said, it's not about smacking them, it's about carrying out what God said in His Word in loving our children. It's about love, it's a love issue. And we had a good talk about that. Smack doesn't carry with it the concept of love, does it? It doesn't. Chastisement does. They're connected in the Word of God. It's part of God's love when He chastens us. Betimes, the Bible says, many times. It shows us that He is guiding and watching over us, and He is bringing that correction into our lives because of intense and immense love for His children. If you're here this morning and you haven't known the chastening hand of God, then you need to take account. You need to look into your life and say, why? Why have I never experienced this? Perhaps you're not His child this morning. Because all of God's children knows His chastening hand. If we didn't, we wouldn't know His love. You say, well, I live such a holy and exceptional life that God probably doesn't discipline me like that. I want to tell you something. John tells us that he even goes to the fruit-bearing tree and he prunes it back in love for the tree. He prunes it back so that it will bring forth more fruit, better fruit. He does that out of love. So that doesn't work either. None of us are an exception to the Word of God. We ought to express the testimony of God's Word in this regard and communicate that to the next generation, to our boys and girls. Now, I want to get into the language that we have here in this particular verse of Scripture. this language, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There are two words that I want to basically leave with you this morning. As we think about Mother's Day, as we think about honoring our parents, that is the word honor and the word heritage. The word honor and the word heritage that are presented here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, the word honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, the word honor means more than obey. I hope I can broaden your horizons this morning. To honor your parents does not simply mean to obey your parents. It's much deeper than that. That's just a small part. That's just a small part of the understanding of this word honor. Obedience is certainly included in that. But to honor, according to the Hebrew language, means to place or put something in the place of superiority, to hold him or her in high regard, to reverence them. It is a spirit and attitude that plays out in action toward someone when we give them honor. It's not just talk. It's action. Mr. Opeger was talking in Sunday school this morning about how our world today is enamored with words. We are enamored with words. We say things in the new technology that we would never say to somebody's face. But we say it with a lot of words, don't we? That those words are so empty and lifeless because they're put into a format that's intended to harm and to hurt, maybe, or it's intended to snow somebody. Maybe make them think, oh, they like me a whole lot, when they're lying. It's hard to know, isn't it? It's hard to know where people are coming from. But this word honor here is a word that is pregnant with thought and with truth and understanding. And we need to grasp this morning, what it means to honor our parents. You know, the Scriptures abound with illustrations of divine blessing coming upon those who honored their parents. The Scriptures also abound with illustrations of divine cursing upon those who did not honor their parents. God here puts the fifth commandment in its place, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, to show us that there is a divine order in God's purposes regarding the basic unit of society. There is a divine order. Isn't it interesting that the devil is spending a lot of time attacking the divine unit, basic unit of society, the home? He is focusing his guns, his fiery darts on the home today. He is trying to undermine it in every way, shape, or form. Why is that? Because there's children there. And he wants the children. He may not have the parents, but he most dearly wants the children. Christians, do you understand that this morning? The devil wants our children, and this world system is operated, the Bible says, by the prince and power of this world. And that's the devil. He operates the education of children in this world today. He operates the monetary systems of this world. He's gearing everything against Christ. And if there's any hope for this world, it's found in little children who come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And that's territory that the devil wants to have. And so that's the territory that he most goes after. We need to understand that as parents. We need to understand that as teenagers. Teenagers, please listen up this morning. The devil wants you. He will tease you with every kind of sideshow that he can tease you with to pull you out of the church. He doesn't want you in church. And that's why teenagers are leaving the church in droves. because the devil doesn't want them there, and they're going to do whatever the devil wants. You've got to determine right now, boys and girls, that you love Jesus Christ more than anything else. If you're a child of God, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You need to love Him more than anything else, because the siren sounds of Satan are going to come down your hallway to your bedroom and will call you away from Jesus Christ. The world is full of the shipwrecks of former churchgoers. The shipwrecks of people who made professions of faith in Christ but were called away by the siren sound of the devil. Oh, he doesn't come like the devil. He comes like the church. He's a minister of light. And he comes in and he draws you aside little steps by little steps further and further away from Jesus Christ. And he knows exactly what children like. Every time I think about the devil, I think about that. When I was a kid, I watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And I think about that guy who was the one that came after the kids. Do you remember that? From the book. If you haven't seen the movie, you've read the book, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, about this guy who comes and he teases the children and he has lollipops in his coat and he sings children's songs. He says, "Won't you come?" And he has his wagon. It's dressed up like a carnival wagon. And he teases the children, "Come into my wagon," and the children follow him in there, and all of a sudden the door closes and the curtain falls off. And what is it? It's a prison on wheels. That's the devil. That's how the devil works. Lollipops and cotton candy and children's songs and all the things that we like. And then we get lured into his prison. And then the gate closes. Honor your parents. The devil doesn't want children to honor their parents, because God honors parents. And anything God honors, the devil's going to be on the opposite side of it. Do you understand that? He's going to be on the other side. He is going after the home as he has never gone before, because he knows time is short. The trumpet's going to sound soon. He knows time is short. And so now we have an all-out frontal attack on the basic unit, marriage. Marriage. Why is the devil so concerned about marriage? Because God's concerned about marriage. God wrote the first wedding vows. God performed the first marriage service. So what does he do? God has something to do with that. Let's destroy it. Isn't it interesting that that's on the hot button topic of the day? What is marriage? And so we're all out about redefining what marriage is. And now it means just about anything. Anything to get away from the authority of God's Word. Honor for the institution that God began. That's what He wants. For children to honor their mothers and fathers, because God does. The order was established by God, and it must be respected. You cannot thumb your nose at God's established order without paying a terrible price. I found this not too long ago, stuck it in my file for a future date, and I pulled it back out. Daniel Webster, talking about growing up. "I did not have to be born in a log cabin, but my elder brothers and sisters were born in a log cabin and raised in the snowdrifts of New Hampshire. I make an annual visit there. I carry my children with me to teach them the hardships endured by my mother and father, who have now gone on before me. I love to dwell on the tender recollections, the kindred ties, the early affections, and the touching narratives and incidents which mingle with all I know of this primitive family abode. I weep to think that none of those who inhabited it are now among the living. And if I ever am ashamed of it, or if I ever fail in affectionate veneration for him who reared it and defended it against the savage violence and destruction, cherished all the domestic virtues beneath its roof, and through the fire and blood of a 7 years revolutionary war, shrunk from no danger, no toil, no sacrifice to serve his country and to raise his children to a condition better than his own, may my name and the name of my posterity be blotted forever from the memory of mankind. He honored his father and his mother. He said, I went back to that log cabin and I thought about my daddy building that log cabin and the children that he raised and how he fought in the Revolutionary War and how my mama took care of all the food needs of the family and made clothes for the children. I don't have all of the quotation here. I just brought a part of it. But I want you to know something. Daniel Webster wanted his children to know. He wanted them to know what it cost for Daniel Webster to be a father. What it cost for Daniel Webster to be who he was. Because he had a mom and a dad that loved him. And he said, if there ever comes a day that I'm ashamed of my mother and father and of the posterity that went before, I hope it's all blotted out from the memory of mankind. Honor for parents. I want us to look at a couple of passages of Scripture here in regard to the concept here of honoring. I want you to look with me, first of all, please, at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is not a lengthy message this morning because we do want to pay honor to our mothers. But I just want to bring two passages to mind here about this word honor. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Subject unto them. Now this is Jesus as a child. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I think it's also interesting that the Bible records that, and one of the last words that the Lord Jesus Christ recorded before his death on the cross was to take time to honor his mother. What did he do? He looked down from the cross and he said, John, he said, I want you to take care of my mother. Now you want to know how high it is in God's registry about honoring mother and father? Jesus Christ hanging on the cross took care of his mother. It was that important. How about it, folks? Is it that important to us this morning? I know the culture doesn't think this way anymore. This is foolish talk to our culture. We've got so many things in place today, we just throw some cash at them, send them away. They'll be fine. That's our attitude today. But there's no honor in it. There's no honor in it. And God wants honor to be brought to mother and father. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Timothy. This is church literature here. Look at chapter 5, please. We'll just begin at the verse 1 there and we'll read through. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers. Isn't that interesting? How are younger men? Timothy was 40 years old here. How was he to treat the ladies in his church, the elderly women? He was to treat them as his mother. That was the standard that was set. That's the standard set for pastors. You treat the women as mothers. You don't treat them as someone you can just talk down to. God help the preacher who talks down to his people. Talks down to mothers and talks down to that, exalting himself up on a pedestal. God help that. What did Paul say? I want you to be careful. When you deal with the women, the elder women, you treat them as your mother. How would you treat your mother? the younger ones as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, I want you to notice something here. If there's widows in the church, you go find their children and their relatives, and you find out why they're not doing their business in regard to the widow. How come they're not taking care of her? Actually, the word nephews there is the word grandchildren. Children and grandchildren. Why are they not taking care of their mother or grandmother? That's the picture here. Let them learn first to show piety at home. They want to show their spirituality. They want to show their love for Jesus. Let them show it at home by taking care of mother who is in need. And to requite, interesting word. It means to give back, to make a return to their parents. Literally, to make a worthy return as an investment. You know what children are? Their interest for moms and dads. Their interest. It's an investment, is it not, moms and dads, that we make in our children? Teaching them day after day, taking them to school, make sure they've got their lunch, make sure they've got on the right clothes, taking care of all their needs, doctor's appointments, visits, bringing them up in the proper discipline that they ought to have day after day. Midnight, going in there to a crying child to administer medicine and hold them in your lap or rock them in a rocking chair. Those are all investments. Interest ought to come back on that. That's what God says. Interest. To make a worthy return as an investment. You know, I'm afraid today that the interest level that most parents get back in the church today is kind of like the savings interest rate that we get now in our banks. Not much. You know, there's not much of an incentive these days to save. When you have interest rates that are hovering right at 1% or lower, there's not a whole lot of reason to rush down to the bank to put your money in there. And the same thing is true of the home. What kind of investments have you made in your children? There's a heritage. Honor given, a heritage passed on. Look over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to close with this. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, Paul speaking to the believers there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 1. 2. Honor thy father and mother. By the way, if obey and honor mean the same thing, why did he repeat it? Because honor is a much bigger word. Honor is lifelong. Honor is lifelong. We obey our parents when we're growing up, and then we establish our own homes. But you know what? Honor never stops. It never stops. You never outgrow honor for parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that, here's the heritage, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Repeated in the New Testament. Holy Spirit of God, through the pen of inspiration, as Paul wrote, made it clear to the church that God's still in the honoring of mothers and fathers. Amen? They're to be honored. It means that we care for them. We take care of them. We're concerned about them because they're mother and father. They're the ones that gave us life. And in turn, as they grow older and are not able to care for themselves, and that's when we step in, and that's when the interest is paid. What kind of interest are we paying today toward our parents? Bible promises long life, not cut short by reason of dishonor, but lengthened because of honor. Quality of life because of the care bestowed by children. Quality of life to help out a mother or a father to make sure that they're taken care of so that they can enjoy those last days here upon this earth and not have to live in misery and woe because the kids are out having a good time. They're out doing their own thing. They're just too busy for mom and dad. They got their own life that they're living. I want to tell you something. God's concerned about that, and He wants the church to know. This may not happen in the world, although I'm afraid that there's many times people out there in the world that do a better job of it than Christians do. And notice, please, this heritage not only consists of long life and quality of life because of the care bestowed by children, but also it says that thou mayest live long on the earth. Okay? What a picture is given to us of the home circle at the end of life. Don't stick your finger in the eye of the home circle. It needs to be something that's preserved and cared for all the way through life. God's put a lot of stock by it. That's the birthplace of nations, is in the home. It's the birthplace of missionaries. It's the home. It's the birthplace of preachers. It's the birthplace of the next generation of mothers. It's the birthplace of the next generation of fathers. It's the birthplace of the next generation of those who are going to follow after Jesus Christ. You have to be born to a mother and a father. And God says that home circle's to be honored throughout life to the end of life. That's what the Bible says. The authority of the Word of God has spoken. Now what are we going to do with it? Honor and heritage. What kind of heritage are you enjoying today? Have you put it into your children to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Will they have God's attitudes about the home and about mother and father? Or have they grown up in a home where they've got the world's attitudes and philosophies about the home? When the end comes, more than likely, it'll mean you'll be alone because they're going to be out doing their own thing because the Word of God was not followed. God help us in this regard. I want to encourage our children and our teenagers this morning and young people that are contemplating marriage in the future. Determine right now. Talk about it right now. You know, we've got some young people that are getting up to age and they're going to be getting married in the next few years. I pray for them. You know, young people today aren't talking about the right things anymore. Whenever they get together, it's just goo-goo eyes in each other's face. And that's it. There's no conversation about the future and about children and how those children are going to be trained and are we going to follow God's Word? Are we going to be in church on Sunday, every service? Don't you think you ought to talk about those kind of things? You might find out that that person that you're so infatuated with isn't interested in that. And then you have to find out later. Oh no, the wrecks. Because we didn't talk about those things. We were too busy being infatuated with each other. We don't want to see that for our kids, do we? We don't want to see that for our grandkids. We want to see God's best for them. A godly home with a dad and a mother who love God and children that are brought up and are brought into the nurture and admonition of the Lord and come to know Christ and see that home circle go on into the future. But it will not happen if you don't submit to the authority of this book. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You would help us to grasp the truth of the fifth commandment, written in the Old Testament, repeated in the Gospels, and repeated in the New Testament. Oh, how the authority of the Scripture comes to bear on the home circle. Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts. Lord, we'd like to approach the Bible like a salad bar and pick and choose and make our own salad of the Scriptures, and some things get accepted and some things get rejected. This is one area, dear Father, that You've said that our life depends upon. Our life depends upon. honor and reverence for the home, mother and father. Lord, may this truth be embedded in the hearts and minds of our boys and girls this morning, and our teenagers and our young adults that are present here that may be married in the near future. We don't know. But Lord, they must submit to the Scriptures or they will pay a very dear price. A very dear price for rejecting Your Word. Father, as we honor our mothers this morning, I pray that that spirit and attitude of honor would be present. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.